The resurrection of Jesus Christ happened because there was a death. Jesus Christ died. As a preacher, Resurrection Day comes around every year, and it is sometimes a struggle to know, do we look at this again? We so often talk about Christ, the cross, the resurrection. Do we need to look at it again? You know what? I am fully convinced that this is the primary message that we need to be looking at each and every week. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It truly is the centerpiece of this ministry, of the scriptures, of your life as a Christian. The gospel is the centerpiece. Now, I'm here today, I'm saying gospel. That's a word that means good news. We don't see it a lot in our culture, but it's a term that means good news. And in the scriptures, the gospel is defined as Jesus Christ, God's Son, living a perfect life, but being put to death upon a cross, being buried, and then rising again the third day, showing victory over sin and over death. Now, you're here today on Resurrection Sunday, and yes, Resurrection Sunday often is one of the most attended services of the year. I don't know why, but it's often that people feel and believe that this is a day that they need to be in church. And I am glad that we are here, each and every one of us, together today. But I want you to understand something. That coming to church is not going to gain you any merit with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God. Giving, reading the Bible, not going to gain you any merit. What's going to gain merit is the only found in Jesus Christ. It's in the gospel. Now, I want to take us back a little bit to recount some of the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. If you are using a pew Bible in front of you, you'll find it on page 1095. Luke chapter 23. We're going to be looking at several characters today in this story. And when you preach on a narrative, and that is a story, an event, it is always fascinating because I believe God put the scriptures together. He put the words together exactly how he wanted them to fit. He gave us certain details, and I believe we need to pay attention to those. Now, we're going to begin by looking at the end of Luke 23. We'll pick up at verse 55. So Luke 23, verse 55. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. I want to highlight this morning just how important the resurrection truly is. These women that we're dealing with here in this text, these were followers of Jesus. When I say followers, I mean these were ladies, women, that spent time with Jesus, that traveled with him, that saw the miracles, that heard his teaching. They witnessed his power. They heard his words, his preaching, the messages. But they have just now come through one of the most horrific events in all of history, where they watched their Lord, Jesus Christ, go to the cross. They knew and understood him to be an upright and righteous man. Just look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. These women, these people, were sorrowing, sorrowful. They were greatly saddened by what they were witnessing and what they were watching. Now, I want to give you an observation. Jesus went to the cross, and when he died and was laid in the tomb, I can think of no one that remained alive who had believed that he truly would rise again. Think about it. They loved Jesus. They heard his teaching. They heard him say, "I will rise the third day." But when the cross came, when he died upon the cross, when he was wrapped in those linens, when he was put into the tomb, it was over. All hope was gone. Their Lord was in the grave. And somehow there was this huge disconnect between what the Lord Jesus had said, "I will rise again," and what they saw and what they witnessed that day. He was placed in a tomb. And that day, that large stone became an obstacle of their faith. That huge stone represented this barrier that they could not get beyond. Why do I say that? Well, what do you see these women doing? What do you see them doing? They saw him laid in the sepulchre. They left there, and what did they go do? They went and prepared ointments and spices that they might anoint his what? His body. Now, why would they be doing that? Because he was dead. Oh, these were dedicated ladies. These ladies loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much so that even though he was dead, they were going to find some way, to get in there and make sure he had a proper burial. I mean, it was a hasty burial. I mean, he was on the cross. They had to get him off the cross and get him down and into the grave before the Sabbath started. And so it was a kind of a hasty burial, although Nicodemus provided a lot of spices. Joseph of Arimathea provided the tomb, and stone was rolled in front of it. It must have been a large stone, because in some of the other Gospels, you hear the women as they come early that morning, "Well, how are we going to move the stone? How are we going to get that stone out of the way?" Remembering now, they're coming to anoint a dead Jesus. He's dead. He is dead. So, chapter 24, verse 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, being Sunday, very early in the morning," so they're coming early, and we know from other places that this was the third day, okay? "They came early unto the sepulchre." They're bringing what? They're bringing their spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So they had expectations. Their expectations were this: the tomb is going to have a stone in front of it, and inside the tomb, there's going to be a body. It's going to be the body of our dead Lord. That's their expectations. So they come bringing those expectations, and they bring them, and what do they find? Verse 2, they find the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Now you might think that when they see the stone rolled away, immediately they're like, it happened. He arose. The stone's away. But does it happen? No. And dear ones, I want you to notice as we go along through this story, I want you to notice the journey of their faith and how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to our faith. And how God, recognizing that, He's the one that reaches out to you and to me to make sure we get it, to make sure we understand He is alive. And so they come, and the stone's rolled away. Their expectations blown away. Listen, where's the stone? Well, verse 3, will they enter in? What's their expectation? There's a dead Jesus in here. There's a dead body that we are going to anoint with these spices and things that we've prepared. And so the stone's gone, so they enter in. And what do they find? They find not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 4. And it came to pass as they were much, what? Perplexed about this. How often in our lives today we have expectations. We have certain things that we expect are going to happen or not happen. And then we encounter something drastically different and we stand back and we're confused. And we're trying to understand exactly, God, what are you doing here? Or what is happening? Or where am I off base? Where have I gone wrong? Our faith often can be challenged by trials. And indeed, that truly, trials are a key ingredient to our faith. Because it is that time of crisis. It's these ladies, when they see Jesus laid in the tomb, they are at a point of crisis in their belief. What are they going to do? Their very Lord, who they believed was the Messiah, is now dead. What are they going to do? They did the best thing they knew how, prepared spices to make sure he had a proper burial. But I want you to remember something. They had been with Jesus, and Jesus had told them what was going to happen. He told them. Well, they're perplexed. They don't understand. Their expectations have been blown away. Well, in the midst of this story, you see the journey of faith and the journey of hope. Because, you know, when Christ was laid in the tomb, their hope was abolished. It was destroyed. There had nothing left except for, let's take care of his body, his dead body. But now they come and they're confused. Why? Because now this hope, the hope that they thought was gone, it's being awakened. Because there's an empty tomb. And the stone is rolled away. What do we do with that? How do we interpret? Computing, compute. Help me understand. So often, I believe this is the case for those that are searching for answers. Many people will be searching all kinds of religions and different truths, quote unquote, that are out there trying to find answers for their lives. And when they come to Christianity, when they come to the Scriptures, and they come to Jesus Christ, and I trust that they do, or they will, or I trust that God uses us to bring them to Jesus Christ, they encounter some things that blow their expectations out of the water. Because Jesus, He's different. It's just things happen with Jesus that just don't make sense to the human mind. And the resurrection is the capstone of that, of all of that. Well, the women are perplexed and they're confused. What happens next? They go back and do research. They go and do some forensics. They do some detective work, take fingerprints, figure out what happened to his body. You know what What happens next is what has to happen in each and every one of us in our lives today. When we reach that point of crisis of belief, when we reach that point of perplexed and we're confused, we in and of ourselves don't have the answers. Something, someone outside of us has to help us. And what do we see here? God sends two messengers to these ladies. They're there confused. They're at the tomb. They don't understand what's going on. And God sends them a message. Dear ones, listen. You're here today. God is sending you a message. We don't have messages through angels necessarily, but we got a message through His Word. His Holy Word. And you find yourself in a perplexed situation today. You're confused. Expectations aren't being met. Listen for the voice of God. What happens here? They're confused, verse 4, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, it's interesting that these men are described in this way. Two of them, and they are described as having shining garments. I believe this is an important distinction because God wants to make sure these ladies know these are not just ordinary men, but these are His messengers. They are in shining garments, and what do they bring? They bring fear to these women. They were afraid. They bowed down their faces to the earth. Now notice something. They are being confronted with what? God's truth. God's message. And they are driven to fear. They are driven to bow down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, these are the angels speaking, why seek you the living among the dead? I thought about that question. I thought about that comment. You think about it. You have these women here that when they saw Christ placed in the tomb, hope was abolished. It's gone. Yes, they had heard Jesus say, I'm going to rise again. And they heard all of that, and they knew His message, and they knew the Old Testament prophets that had spoken of there would be a king forever upon the throne of David. And yet, their hope was gone. They now have encountered an empty tomb, a stone that's rolled away, and their hope is awakened, but they don't understand what to do about it. They're confused. And now God sends them a message, and the message is this: why are you seeking the living among the dead? What does that question assume? That very question assumes He's alive. He's alive. Now the angels knew why the ladies were there. They were seeking what? Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. They had the spices there. And they were seeking Him. They had been in the tomb. They had come out and they were asking one another, where is He? What has happened here? And I don't know if the thought crossed their mind. It's the third day. He said He would rise again on the third day. I don't know if they were beginning to put those things together. But these angels bring this question to them. Why are you seeking? And that's what they were doing. They were searching for the living among the dead. Why are you searching for someone that's dead? You've got it wrong. Listen, He's not dead. He's alive. He is not here, but He is risen. Remember, and this is what I love, remember how He said unto you when He was yet in Galilee. What does God's messengers do? Reminds them of the word, of Jesus' words, and they're reminding them, and He says, "The Son." This is what Jesus said, ladies, remember this. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Check, that happened. and be crucified. Check. That happened. But he said something else, ladies. He said, and the third day, rise again. Check. It's happened. And they remembered his words. Church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. Just like these ladies, they loved Jesus. They loved him. They loved him so much so that when he died and was buried, they were going to find some way to get in there just to give him a proper burial, anoint his body with the spices that needed to be there. They loved him. They cared for him. But he was dead. He was dead. Their faith was in a crisis. What do they do? They had lost hope. But God sent them a message. And what was the message? The message was, remember Jesus' words. Remember what he said. Remember, he said this would happen. And not only was he taken by sinful men, not only was he crucified, but ladies, he said he'd rise again. The empty tomb, the stone rolled away. They remembering his words, I believe, was probably a point, you don't have it necessarily spelled out here, but it was probably one of those, yes, that's right. That's what happened. He said he would be taken in by sinful men. It happened. He said he would be crucified. It happened. He said he'd rise again on the third day. This is the third day. Verse 9, and they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. What I like about Luke is Luke gives us a cycle here. He shows us the women and their journey of faith. He shows us the disciples, the 11, and their journey of faith. He shows us the two men on the road to Emmaus, their journey of faith. And we don't have time today to read all of those stories, but I want to just recount for you what happens. The next story that we see is two men on the road to Emmaus. We don't know who they were. One was Cleopas. We don't know who the second man was. But remember the story and think about their process of faith. They are journeying to Emmaus and they are discussing all of the events that had just taken place. It was the third day, it was the same day, it was Sunday, and they just going over and over all that had happened. And along comes a stranger. Luke tells us it was Jesus. And Jesus is walking along with them, and he asks them, what's happening? Well, what are you talking about? And they recount for him what has taken place. Verse 19 of chapter 24. And he said unto them, What things are you talking about? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Now notice what they believed. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So they believed he was a great prophet, a great man, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been that he which should have redeemed Israel. So notice their belief. Their belief was, he is the Messiah. We trusted that that's who he was. He was going to redeem us. Probably they meant give us freedom from Rome. But what happened? And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They are acknowledging that's the third day. Possibly in their minds rehearsing, he did say something about 3 days. Yea, in certain, verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. They were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. So these two men had heard these women come and report. We had a vision from angels, and they said he was alive. The tomb was empty. And now these two men are in a crisis of belief. What's happening? These women come and report. The tomb is empty. It's also said here that Peter and John, they have gone and they have seen the empty tomb. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. So they have found the empty tomb. They have found the stone rolled away. But where is Jesus? So the ladies received a message. Remember Jesus' words. He was going to be crucified and rise again the third day. And they remembered. Now these two men on the road to Emmaus, they're talking with Jesus. And what happens? Jesus confronts them, verse 25 and 26. He says unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Didn't the prophets say that the Messiah, Christ, would suffer? All of these things were to accomplish things for his glory. Isaiah 53. Remember? And then verse 27, Jesus begins at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounds unto them in all the what? Scriptures. The things concerning himself. We know that rest of the story. Jesus goes to eat with them, and he breaks bread with them, and he gives thanks, and at that moment they realize that they had been with Jesus. And their eyes were opened, and he was gone. But they had seen Jesus. The Bible tells us that they immediately got up, and they traveled the 2.5-hour journey back to Jerusalem that night. Why? Because they had to go tell the disciples. They had to go tell the disciples. They had seen Jesus. Well, we know what takes place in that room. The disciples are all huddled together. They are afraid. The door is locked. Remember, Peter and John, they've already been to the empty tomb. They've already seen the empty linens. These two men on the road to Emmaus come and bring their report that they had walked with Jesus. But the 11 disciples, the stalwart men of faith, quote unquote, that had followed Jesus, were sitting in fear. Again, what do we do? What do we think? He said this, but this happened. He's in the grave, but the grave is empty. He said this. He said he would rise again, and the grave is empty. Dare we believe it to be true? Dare we believe it to be true? And what happens? Jesus comes, and he goes right through the wall, and there he is. And what does he say to them? Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Dear ones, listen. Life is a fearful thing apart from Christ. When we're in times of doubt, when we're at a crisis and we don't know what to do, where God has said these truths, but these things are happening, and we are confused, and we are perplexed. Allow God's message to be the truth upon which you stand. Because, dear ones, listen, God drove the women back to what Jesus had said. This is going to happen. And they remembered his words. Jesus Christ took those two men on the road to Emmaus back to the scriptures, to what God had said, and how Moses and all the prophets had spoken of him. And these things were going to be accomplished. And that very night, they turned around and traveled the 7.5 miles back, probably by foot, to go tell the disciples. The disciples huddled in a room, and Jesus comes to them and he says, "Peace be unto you. Peace. Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Oh, praise God for his mercy and his grace. He understands and knows that we are people that we count on things we can touch and feel. And he knows and understands that it's tough to believe in just things that we can't see or touch. But you know what? That's the demand. We are to be men and women of faith. Christianity is based upon faith. God is a spirit. We cannot see or touch him, but yet we know he is real. And God in his mercy sent his son to this earth to become a man, to become a man who could be touched and felt and heard, who could eat and sleep, who could hold little children in his arms, who shed blood that satisfied the very wrath of God against sin. Jesus, he ate with them. And in verse 44, he says unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, now listen to this, all of us, listen to this. This is what Jesus says to them. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer." Dear ones, listen today. We're here celebrating the resurrection, but the resurrection only happened because there was a suffering, there was a crucifixion, and it was the crucifixion of the cruelest kind, undeserved. It was the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, who suffered. And it had to happen. God had decreed it from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up through. It was going to happen because it was part of God's plan to redeem you and me, to save you and me, that we might know life. Blood had to be spilt. It had to be perfect blood. And there was only one way, one person, and that was Jesus Christ. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Why is the resurrection so important? Think about these women. If they would have gone, and the stone would have been there, and they would have had to roll it away. And they go in, and they see his body that is still wrapped up and dead. Where would they have been? What would they have looked for? What would they have hoped in? It would have been gone. Oh, he was a great man and he said a lot of great things, but he's dead now. What about those men on the road to Emmaus? They're talking all these things and philosophizing and wondering what happened. And what if Jesus never appeared to them because he was still dead in the tomb. And today, even to this day, they would be joining the philosophers of our day, surmising what happened and where is Jesus, and he's dead. Of what value was his life? Or he could be like the disciples sitting there huddled. They were afraid. Indeed, their righteous leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was dead. And if he never appeared to them, there would be no church. These men would be huddled in a corner to the day they died, afraid to be linked with Jesus. But that didn't happen, did it? The resurrection. The resurrection breathes life into the gospel. It is imperative to the gospel. Because, yes, the crucifixion had to happen. Because perfect blood had to be spilt to pay for your sin, for my sin. But the resurrection had to happen. Because it validates all that Jesus had said. Because indeed he said, I am the giver of life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. It wouldn't work if he's still in the grave. It was the resurrection that breathed life into his words. And people just needed to be reminded, this is what he said. And the resurrection provided the stamp and said, yes, that is what he said. And it is for real. Notice what else he says. Thus it is written in verse 46 of chapter 24. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. So here's where it all comes down. Here's where the rubber meets the road. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why it matters to you and to me. It's because this is the message that provides true hope to you and to me. Hope from our sinful condition, a condition where we could never come to God on our own. We're sinful. But what God did was he sent his Son. And he sent his Son to die, to suffer, to pay that penalty for our sin. Because you know what? Our sin, it's the death penalty. We deserve eternal death. We have no hope. Hope is abolished because we're sinners. But Jesus Christ awakens that hope, and the resurrection breathes life into that hope. Hope was abolished, but then it was awakened, and now it's alive.